Hello, and thank you for joining us for Growing America's Roofing Workforce, the podcast where we interview the people working to recruit, train, and retain the future of the roofing industry. I'm John Espenshade with the National Roofing Contractors Association. These days, NRCA is buzzing about one particular workforce development topic, SkillsUSA. For those of you who don't know, SkillsUSA is a national trade student association representing 370,000 active students, teachers, and administrators in all 50 states. And prior to 2023, roofing had not really been at SkillsUSA. But this year, proud to say, we had the first national roofing student contest. And joining us here today are two of those students, Kyle Cameron, our national champion, and Mia Polito, our fourth place champion. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
And on the industry side of things, we have Kurt Steinkuhler of Ray Roofing in Kansas, who helped support Kyle. Kurt, good morning.
Good morning.
And Scott Kupak, Mia's teacher, who absolutely was critical when it came to bringing this this course and this contest to his school. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right. So getting right into it, this is a question for Kyle and Mia. Mia, we'll start with you. What first made you interested in pursuing any kind of career in the trades? And what have you liked about it so far?
I'm not very school person. I like being hands-on. I first got a general idea of it when I would go to work with my dad. Since then, I was like, wow, this is so cool. I think I want to pursue this. And when I got to high school and I figured out about the trade at Era Career Center, then I was like, this is amazing. You know, I want to go into this workforce.
All right, cool. So what did your dad do?
My dad was a decorative floor masonry, something like that. He finished floors. He worked more in the Chicago area.
Okay, cool. That's where we're located. All right. So, Kyle, same question for you. What made career and a career in the trades better than just regular old high school and that kind of route for you?
I like working with my hands, and I've just never really been that good at school stuff. I've just been better at building stuff.
So, expanding on that, Kyle, what is one of the first projects that you remember doing when you were learning how to build stuff, where you realize that, okay, working with my hands is something that I really do enjoy doing?
We remodeled one of our houses. We painted the whole thing, new flooring, new cabinets, new trim.
Kyle, how old were you when you first started doing stuff in the trades? And Mia, how old were you when you kind of got into this? Kyle, you go first.
Probably 9 or 10, pretty young.
Okay, cool. Mia?
I was around 10, 11. I had first gone to work with my dad. And then a couple years later, I started demoing parts of my house.
Okay, cool. So you guys got to play with the fun stuff rather than, I've taken Algebra 2, which isn't really the toughest math class, but I can tell you that it's way more fun to play with tools than it is to do Algebra 2, in my opinion anyway. So the next question that I have, I want to go to Kurt, who's on the industry side at Ray Roofing and probably really informative for teaching other contractors how to get involved. Kurt, what was the process like for going from not having any kind of connection or knowledge about SkillsUSA to, you know, being paired up with a school and, you know, helping Kyle compete in the national contest?
Well, to start with, I think I'll go back and talk a little bit about how I got involved with this. I received a phone call from Bob Pope with the Midwest Roofing Contractors Association, and he had talked with you looking for somebody to take over the program in Kansas from Kevin Gwaltney. Kevin Gwaltney was a good friend of ours in the industry and had recently passed away. So I felt an obligation because of my knowledge of him and knowing him for so many years to take this project on. And after visiting with you a little bit about the program and getting some background, I visited with Becky Warren, who is the Kansas Department of Education spokesperson for SkillsUSA. And got a list of schools from her of people that had shown interest in participating in the program. I sent all of those people emails and got responses back from several of them, and only two of the schools followed through with enrolling students in the competition. My goal in this was the fact that we in the industry are having problems securing new employees to come into the industry and learn our trade. So I thought this was a viable program for our industry to at least try and see if it would work in any way. So that was my goal in that. From there, I contacted the Kansas Roofing Association and asked several of the people on that board if they'd be interested in participating with me to be trainers and judges in this, and got some very good feedback, and people signed up right away. So I was very fortunate to have a lot of help with that immediately.
Yeah, it really does take a village. You know, the same way, it's kind of an interesting thing how it kind of pyramids to a Kyle or a Mia, but it takes, you know, an engaged contractor, usually regional association support, usually some kind of buy-in from distributors or someone with the sake of getting the materials for the student. And then, of course, the connection point, the real handshake moment, is industry to teachers. So now we're going to go to Scott Cupack. And Scott, you know, you're the one of the first teachers in the country to, you know, get this course, this training, and this contest into the hands of a student. So what was that process like? You know, from you're connected with someone on the industry now, what were some of the, you know, the highs and lows and the pitfalls and the things, the piece of advice you might give to other people in the roofing industry to reach out and be successful and good partners with building that relationship?
To piggyback on what he had mentioned earlier about just searching out the right people to get the contacts from. So there's always a local SkillsUSA person for those contractors to reach out to, or a state director that then could divert you to somebody more local. And I think that's how it happened for us. Very, very organic in that you reached out to Kelly Baker, and then Kelly Baker broadcast it to anybody that was eligible. All the building trades teachers throughout the state that have the curriculum would align with this opportunity. And then just keep putting the buzz out there. She kept reaching, you know, bringing it to us. We kept bringing it to our students. And luckily we found a highly qualified, motivated person to take that journey. And I think that was a big part for us, was having the right fit for this inaugural, you know, trip. And then there was a lot, you know, unknown because it just hadn't happened yet. And for that to work out, it was great. We had got paired with a roofing contractor at Indianapolis that brought us material to practice with, that facilitated the state conference. We have our regional contest typically at the Carpenters Union, and they also are very interested in the TPO and those systems. So they thankfully ran the regional contest for us. So at that time, when she got her first exposure to TPO and, you know, using the seaming tools and the techniques, they facilitated everything. You know, they had their mock-up ready for us. They provided an instructor for half a day through the contest, coached her through it. And yeah, without industry support, it would have been very difficult for us to do this. I'm a carpenter by trade, so knowing all the specific tools we needed, the techniques, the expectations for, you know, what was flashed and wasn't flashed, you know, we really needed that industry partner for sure.
And we're going to take it a step back to do some unpacking about the contest now that we've laid some foundation for it. So the SkillsUSA Commercial Roofing Contest teaches students and tests their ability to install thermoplastic roofing on a low slope membrane using the same mockup that NRCA uses for their pro certification. So it's a standardized mockup, it's a standardized materials list, it's a standardized scoring rubric, and that's what we give to these schools and these students in order to prepare them for long-term successful careers in the roofing industry, if that's what they want to do. And the industry, and you know, Kurt and Scott, I think you guys will echo this. The expectation is that the roofing side of things has to pay for everything. We have to pay for all the materials, all the tools, the mock-ups, and schedule time for trainers to go in and teach the students like me and Kyle to make sure that they can be successful and that they have a shot at winning the national championship. So going back to Mia and Kyle, since y'all were the first, I think this is a pretty fair question. Why roofing? Like, you know, why did you guys decide to take the first step and be the first roofing students in your state? Kyle, let's start with you.
I was originally going to do carpentry, and then our school had too many people in that. So my teacher found out about this competition and he asked me if I wanted to do it, and I did it. It's something new.
So what was it like, you know, being the first person to do it, doing something that was brand new that none of your classmates was doing?
It was different because no one really could tell me what I was going to be doing. There was no way to really prepare besides just kind of thinking about what could happen.
Okay. So Mia, your turn, and that first question, why? Like, why try this one out? Why be the first person to do it?
So I first saw it when I went to one of my local training center, Maryville Training Center open house, and I tried it. Like, they had a little demo, and I was like, that's pretty cool, and I tried it out, and they told me I was really good at it, and I consider myself like a fast learner when it comes to things being hands-on. So when I first tried it, I was like, this is really cool. You know, I want to explore this a little more.
In terms of next steps and Mia, we'll start with you. We'll come to Kyle next. What was your experience like at the national contest? You know, because it's a lot more pressure. You know, I feel like if you're a student and you're trying to do this, especially over the course of what, 4 hours, that it gets pretty nerve-wracking. What's that process like, and what was the thinking like as you're kind of starting from scratch and then going through it? What was that?
I was definitely terrified at first, like being the only girl in that specific trade and having no one who has really no experience around me. It was definitely scary, but because I've had so much training previous to that, it was a little sense of relief for me. And the whole skills competition was new. Like, I've never even heard of it before this year, and I thought it was a really interesting thing. I wish all of us could have competed at once rather than it being a 2-day part, but you know, you live and you learn, and I thought it was a pretty interesting competition. Like, I would do it again.
Cool. Well, I mean, that's high praise. And we got you on recording saying that, Mia. We might hold you to it. But Kyle, you know, the first national champion in the history of this contest. So when you first started working on that first day, on that mock-up, what were some of those initial feelings? Did you eventually get to a point where you felt maybe a little bit less than terrified?
Yeah, I just kind of was going to do the best I could and hope for the best.
Outside of the written test, what do you think the hardest part of the contest was for you? And Mia, same question next.
Probably going around the box, all the corners and stuff for the flashing.
And Mia, what about for you?
Having to be on my knees. I didn't prepare to be on my knees as much as I did. But I have an idea for next time, so I think I'll be more prepared for that. But besides that, probably how low it was, like how low to the ground it was.
We're going to take a break real quick now and do an ad read from our sponsor. This episode of the NRCA podcast, Growing America's Roofing Workforce, is brought to you by DenseDeck Roof Boards. Are you thinking, and are your clients thinking about what their roof will look like in the future? Building owners need your expertise when it comes to extending the life of their commercial roof. That's when you tell them about DenseDeck Roof Boards, with three solutions to fit various design intent. Our original gypsum cover board protects against foot traffic, weather events, and fire. It also has the strength needed to support future roof installs, like solar panels and HVAC. So use DenseDeck Prime Roof Board to enhance your roof's moisture resistance. Finally, Protect your roof from extreme wind, uplift, and hail damage with Densdeck Storm X Prime Roof Board. They're FM classified for very severe hail and approved single-ply membrane assemblies. So help your clients choose a resilient roofing system and make sure Densdeck roof boards don't get value engineered out of your next job. You'll strengthen your rooftops and your customer relationships. Visit densdeck.com/stopcallbacks for more information. So getting into the tail end of our questions and really the tail end of this podcast, but Mia, I've got a question for you because you alluded to this earlier. You are, in fact, a woman person and the first female to participate in the Skills USA contest. And I think that there's some insight to glean there. At the Skills Pavilion, you know, we had National Women in Roofing there. We had organizations and representatives, a lot of the different aspects of the roofing industry represented by women at Skills USA. Were you able to build any relationships? What was it like? Did they, you know, seem to take interest in you? Were you able to have conversations with them? And what was that experience like for you as a woman in a spot where it's mostly guys?
I did not get to build a super strong relationship, but I did get to meet a lot of women who were interested in me and the roofing, or women who wanted to see me doing, you know, my mock-up. But it was really nice to see, like, and have their support. Like, they wanted to get, like, some of my teachers and some of my principals, they're like, here, they gave us this shirt for you. They gave us this tool belt for you. And it really caught me off guard because I didn't realize how much support they were giving me. So it made me feel really, like, appreciated in that. But yeah, being the female for this competition, being the only female for this competition that was male predominant was scary, but you know, I would do it again because it's a new experience. You know, people would want to do this in the future maybe, and I would want to help with that.
That's a fantastic thing to hear. And I think, you may not know the number of people in NRCA and outside and really in our industry in general, who'd be excited to hear that, you know, you're being welcomed in, you're being nurtured, and you feel like you're respected and cared for, because we want everyone to feel that way, man or woman. So Kyle, I have a question for you as our reigning champion. First off, next year, would you prefer a championship belt to a trophy if you won? And second is, what was that experience like hearing that you had won the first Skills USA commercial roofing contest?
Well, I think a belt would be cool instead of a trophy. And hearing that I won, I kind of didn't believe it at first. And then I finally did once I got the trophy and stuff.
Kyle, your prize first place was $1,000. And Mia, we ended up prizing you $750. What did you spend the money on? And, you know, was that impactful for you? Did it make a difference in your, you know, in your life a little bit?
I actually got $500, which was $200 more than I was told, which was surprising. But it did help because my dad passed away 3 years ago, and it's been a little hard for me and my family. So we put that more towards my savings account for future, like, houses, apartments, whatever I may need. So that, like, having that money saved in there helps a lot. It's a little hard with one parent income, but it's benefited a lot. You know, I got a new tool belt. I got, you know, new tools that I was given from the prize there. And I'm speechless because I wasn't expecting to have that $500 reward. You know, I was told $300, and it was just, I was really grateful for that.
Certainly, we want to make sure that we're taking care of the young men and women who are coming into this industry. And, you know, happy to be able to start you all off on the right foot in that respect. Kyle, same question for you. Did you save it away? Did you get yourself something?
I actually got a set of tires for my truck. I bought some wheels the week before the competition, so now I got the tires. And
truck tires are not the cheapest thing in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Here, Kurt, I got a question for you, and then Scott, let's try to work your feedback in here too as we kind of get in the closeout part. What's some advice that each of you would give to the other side for next year? You know, Kurt, let's assume that you're going to tell another contractor to kind of pick up the torch in a different state and start from scratch. What would be one piece of advice that you believe that that person should have?
Well, number one, it's a very rewarding program to be involved with. But the advice that I would give would be that you need to make sure that you reach out to any of the regional local associations for help, and to make sure you contact your supplier that you're using so that you can get some additional help from them on materials. It's amazing how quickly, for me anyway, that the supplier that we use, which is Beacon, stepped up to the plate and provided all the materials for the competition. And we went ahead and provided the materials through our Hutchison office to do the training, but it worked out really well. It's just a matter of not being scared to ask for help.
All right, and that's a great point. Can't be afraid to ask for help, because I mean, if you don't ask, the answer is no anyway. Right. Scott, question for you. What's one piece of advice that you would give the contractors, the people on the roofing side, to make sure that, you know, one, that we're starting off on the right foot, and that, you know, we can say the right things that are going to make y'all's ears perk up and make sure that you know that we're serious about keeping our promises?
I guess the best advice I can give to the roofing contractor is start as early as you can. So if they catch this podcast now in July, start calling or emailing in August and get a hold of those SkillsUSA partners, those schools. Ask if the distributor is going to provide a portion of it. Start early, because we had really good support. Absolutely. Bone Dry of Indianapolis, they delivered about $2,000 worth of materials to our school. And they're, I believe, a nationwide contractor, but they're not close to us. They're in our state, but they're not close. So we had a scheduled delivery. All that had to be planned ahead of time. So all those things. So I say you start as early as you can contacting whoever. And if there's some building trades instructors that are interested, you may have to reach out to the contractor. They may not be aware. They may be willing, they may be excited. They definitely want your students as employees. So, but you may have to make that an initial introduction.
Great advice. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today on this podcast. Our champion from Indiana, Mia Polito. Our champion from Kansas and national champion, Kyle Cameron. Kurt Steinholder of Ray Roofing, and Scott Kupak. Thank you guys and ladies very much for joining us. I only have one more question, and it's for Kyle and Mia. Are y'all going to be back in 2024?
Hopefully.
I plan on it, yeah.
Great. I can tell you guys now that it is the intention to make sure that any cost associated with sending the state champion to the national contest will never be the responsibility of the student, or frankly, the school again. The industry is volunteering to cover that cost in 2024 and beyond. So y'all get right, because I'm gonna try to build more students that are gonna come for your titles in 2024. So as always, if you guys need anything, feel free to reach out. And thanks everyone for joining us for this episode of Growing America's Roofing Workforce. I'm John Espenshade, signing off.